Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, when our government declared its intention to recognise the state of Palestine, the Israeli government, understandably, wasn't best pleased. The normal procedure in such international disputes is to relay their displeasure to the relevant ambassador. But what happened to the Irish, Norwegian and Spanish ambassadors was quite different. And as the former Irish diplomat Bobby McDonough argues, was a deplorable breach of diplomatic norms. Bobby, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John.
So in these kind of situations, what would happen normally? Is it you're brought into the relevant Department of Foreign Affairs and they say what they're going to say?
Well, let me say, first of all, Sean, that what happened to the ambassadors is nothing compared with what the people of Gaza are suffering and what the Israelis suffered on the 7th of October. But it was nevertheless macabre. And a US journalist friend of mine described it as like a scene from Clockwork Orange. But what should happen is that diplomats are the representatives of governments. They are the channels of communication between governments. They're not the target of messages that are being conveyed. And that sort of way of dealing with it is essential for international diplomacy. In this case, they were brought in. They had videos of Hamas atrocities inflicted on them. And the media, Israeli media, were brought in to take photographs of them. So it was, I think any reasonable person would say that it was quite abusive.
Yeah. So the three ambassadors are there and the Israeli media are brought in to take photographs of the three ambassadors watching pictures of Hamas atrocities.
That's right. And what would normally happen, and it, you know, for example, the Russian ambassador in London might be called in by the Foreign Office so that they convey a complaint about something that happened in Ukraine. And it can be quite a strong complaint, but the ambassador goes in quietly. He might be photographed going into the Foreign Office. But in this case, the ambassadors became the target of the briefing and they were paraded before the media in a way that was, as the Thornish has said, quite deplorable.
Yeah. And was any statement made to them then? Or was that the entirety of the meeting, just watching these pictures?
Well, what got publicity in the media was the watching of the pictures. I imagine there was also a diplomatic message to be passed on to the Irish government, but I think that got lost in the media circus that was organised by the Israeli foreign ministry.
Yeah. Now, what do you think their intention was in doing it like this?
I think it was partly to play to domestic opinion, because there's a degree of irrationality about the debate in large parts of Israel. But I don't think it was a very rational thing to do. It's not as if this was a sort of calmly thought through, pragmatic, effective way of behaving. I think the Israeli government under Netanyahu has essentially lost the plot. And I think, they're being challenged by the International Criminal Court, which has asked for arrest warrants to be issued. The International Court of Justice has instructed them to stop their brutal campaign in Rafah. And we saw the effects of that ongoing campaign yesterday with tens more people, innocent civilians, killed in what Netanyahu described as a mishap. So I'm afraid, you know, I understand their anger, just as I understand the anger of Palestinians at the way they've been treated over the decades and indeed the way they've been treated in the last 6 months. But governments have a responsibility not to be overtaken by emotion, as the Israeli government has been. And I think what happened here was not a carefully thought through strategy. I think it was just A, appealing to their own domestic opinion, and B, just behaving irrationally for its own sake.
Would it be fair to say, do you think that it's this message that perhaps they were sending domestically seemed to be, well, the representatives of these three foreign governments either aren't aware what happened on October the 7th or think it's okay?
Well, that's, I'm sure, the message that they did want to send domestically. But of course, it's complete nonsense, because the governments of the three ambassadors who were at the meeting have repeatedly condemned Hamas on the 7th of October and ever since then. And the real Israeli objection is not to those governments not condemning Hamas, which they do. The real objection, even if they don't fully realise it themselves, is that those three governments also condemn the Israeli actions. So the ambassadors were the wrong target for the wrong film. What matters here is not whether you condemn the other side. What matters here is that you condemn all absolute wrongdoing. And the Irish government and the Spanish and Norwegian governments do that. The Israeli government doesn't. In fact, the Israeli government rightly condemns Hamas for what it did, but is actually responsible for another part of the wrongdoing.
In terms of the diplomatic situation, Bobby, does that warrant a response on our part, or should there be a response on our part?
There was a response from the Tánaiste, very strong language. I think he used the phrase totally unacceptable and outside the norms by which diplomats are treated around the world. And that was very fair. Now, of course, one could take further action. I have no contact with the Department of Foreign Affairs about this, but they could theoretically have considered withdrawing our ambassador for consultations. But Ireland doesn't want to break diplomatic relations with Israel. I mean, the government here, despite pressure, didn't expel the ambassador before. She's been withdrawn by the Israeli government themselves. And the Tánaiste said as recently as the weekend that we would welcome back the Israeli ambassador if she's sent back. Not because we agree with what Israel is doing, but because we think it's important to keep diplomatic channels open. So in a sense, Ireland, including the Tánaiste, who is a very calm person, has behaved calmly in response to this to help to save Israel from its own irrationality. Mm. Ireland wants a two-state solution, Sean. It doesn't want a one-state solution of Palestine to the sea, nor does it want a one-state solution where Israel continues to take over land that doesn't belong to it in the West Bank. It wants a genuine two-state solution. And that means that it recognises Palestine, which it is doing in a timely and appropriate way. But it also very much recognises Israel's right to exist and to have its own security, but not if it means killing tens of thousands of Palestinian civilians. I mean, after all, if it were right to do this to the three ambassadors in Jerusalem, of course, they're based in Tel Aviv, but they would have been brought to Jerusalem for this. Should Israeli ambassadors around the world be forced to watch footage of entire families being slaughtered and children without parents being condemned to starve? Of course not. Entirely inappropriate way for governments to behave, and the Irish and Spanish and Norwegian governments wouldn't dream of doing that.
Yeah, though for diplomacy to work, everybody though has to speak sort of more or less in the same tone of voice or in the same way. But it seems as if that's evidence that Israel isn't doing that. So communication effectively breaks down.
I think as a general rule in international diplomacy, it's good to remain as calm as possible. And I understand why the Israelis are so angry about what Hamas has done. I fully understand that. But I think every government has a responsible not to lose the run of itself. It has a responsibility. It's all very well being angry, but you can't find a solution even for your own people by just being irrationally angry. But there's a specific point about diplomatic communication. It's one thing for the issuing of statements by the Tánaiste or the Israeli foreign minister or president, and in that case, we know they've been overreacting and making inappropriate statements. But using diplomatic channels is a different thing. Even when two governments disagree, You have diplomatic channels open, which is why we would welcome the Israeli ambassador back, so that messages can be passed back calmly and discreetly, even if they're strong messages, to the capital from which the ambassador has been sent.
Yeah, though I read recently someone saying that the shock from October the 7th has essentially traumatized most of Israeli society, and that probably includes the government as well, hence the lack of rationality that you alluded to. So could it be for the time being, at least anything we do is going to make it worse, that the Israeli government is just going to react to any criticism?
The Israeli people have been traumatized, and I understand that. But the Palestinian people have also been traumatized. They've been traumatized by decades of injustice, with more than 500,000 Israelis now living in land that belongs to the Palestinians. And they've been traumatized, and this is not to justify in any way what Hamas did, but they've been traumatized by having 36,000 people killed in the last 6 months, most of them women and children and civilians. So trauma is a desperate thing when anybody suffers it, whether it's Israelis or Palestinians. But politicians have a duty to try to remain calm and to act on the basis of morality and rationality and not on the basis of knee-jerk extremism.
Yeah, indeed. But though in the current climate, when emotions are so heightened, France is making noises about perhaps they might recognise Palestine, the European Union's for the first time talking about sanctions. As a matter of strategy, or to try and calm down Israel even a little bit, might that just have the effect of poking the beast more?
Ireland certainly doesn't want to inflame the situation further, and nor does the European Union. But so far, there is no sign of the Netanyahu government, and I know he doesn't represent all Israelis, listening to the International Criminal Court, the International Court of Justice, the Court of World Opinion, where, you know, more than 143 countries voted at the United Nations to recognize Palestine, and only 9 voted against. So, and the violence continues. You know, every day you have people killed, sometimes tens of people every day. So naturally, the world is having to send firmer messages, and it's right that the European Union should look at the association agreement with Israel, which has some human rights clauses, and those clauses are supposed to be real. They're not just supposed to be wording. So, you know, on the one hand, we should use language that is, that's as calm as possible. But on the other hand, something has to be done to try to put an end to the appalling massacres of Palestinian civilians.
Yeah. Do you think any country in the world, even the United States, has any diplomatic leverage now in Israel?
I think they have some, certainly. And, you know, I don't think they can click their fingers and force the Israeli government to do what they think. But I think that, you know, we've already seen, you know, some of the humanitarian access, which is clearly inadequate, but that has come about as a result of U.S. pressure. I think, you know, the U.S. also held back some arms shipments to Israel. So it hasn't acted as a major break, but it is sending a signal of the sort of thing the United States could do. But it's also a matter of electoral calculation in America by President Biden. He's also, it's not just that he, if you like, doesn't have the clout to stop Netanyahu. It's also he has to look at how what he does will affect his own chances of re-election. Not that that's something that necessarily he should do, because morality should be the main thing. But in a sense, he does have a moral obligation to prevent Trump coming in. And Trump would make everything worse. Trump would make every situation in the world worse, including the situation in Palestine and Israel. So Biden has to make certain judgments. He has certain influence, but I would like to see him getting tougher and exercising the influence that he has.
Bobby, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That's Bobby McDonough there, former Irish ambassador to London, Rome and Brussels.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.